Previously in Chapter 2. Techno fits in quite well with their little team. They leave his base after a few days, waiting for the town to settle above them. They scavenge what they can, but don't stay too much longer, all of them wanting to get out of the suffocating oddness that the town radiates. Techno explains to them that he'd been trying to study the Deadwalkers for a while now, watching them come together and sprout, taking notes about their movements and growth. He calls it a hyperfixation, Phil calls it some sort of genius. The way he talks about it reminds him of when Tubbo explains how he does math inside his head. Techno's nice. He's quiet, but when he does speak, it's often worth listening to. Either in the way of dry humor or serious suggestion, it's worth paying attention to. He and Tommy argue more often than not, while Tubbo trails along after him, rambling about things that they both share an interest in. Phil and Techno are the only ones who stay up late, and it's nice to share the responsibility with someone instead of having it all on his shoulders. While Techno's young, he's mature and knows how to survive on his own, so Phil has no problem trusting him to take watch during the night so they can both get some sleep in shifts. It also helps that he's seen Techno take down 2 Deadwalkers in one hit. It adds a bit of security to the situation for sure. Winter is coming, however, and as much as Phil likes having Techno with him, he is another mouth to feed and another body to keep warm. He finds himself up late many nights, sitting and counting the days until the most likely first snow. He keeps an eye out for animals as they walk through the woods, keeps an eye out for anything edible. They avoid towns and settlements as much as possible, knowing what probably lies in the center, and instead loot isolated houses the best they can. Their supplies take sharp declines on occasion, and it worries Phil. It worries him a lot. It worries him more than he ever lets them know. He can tell that they know, of course, but never the extent to which he worries. Never how it keeps him up at night. Never how often he carefully checks each of their bags and thinks about their rations. Eventually, he knows they have to stop. Techno knows it too, evidenced by how he slows down one day in the woods. The weather's gotten chillier, and Phil's thinking about jackets. Mostly for Tommy and Tubbo, since Phil's jacket is good for the while, and Techno has his layers from the town. "We still need to find a place to stay," Techno says, trailing alongside Phil as they both watch the boys ahead of them dart between the trees. "Before it snows." "I know," Phil says, stepping carefully over a log and then uses a stone to boost himself over another. Techno follows suit. "A house would be best," Techno points out, and Phil takes a deep breath. "I know," he repeats, and he can tell Techno's getting a bit exasperated by his lack of response. "Are we going to, then?" he asks, and Phil stops in his tracks. He looks around, gesturing with one arm, and his words come out sharper than he had originally intended. "Do you see a house, Techno? Feel free to shout when you do, and we'll stop." Up ahead, the clamber from Tommy and Tubbo is quieted. They're listening, obviously, and Phil takes a moment to breathe. After a moment, Techno forges ahead and brushes past Phil. He holds his head high, moving forward and into the woods further. Phil follows. They keep walking, the mood somber. Even Tommy and Tubbo return to them, eyes flicking between the two older men, and then looking at each other. Phil pretends not to notice their hands clasped together, and Techno is so far ahead of them at this point, he probably hadn't noticed at all, even if he wanted to make fun of the two. It's starting to get dark, and Phil's contemplating stopping to make camp, when Techno reappears out of the trees, coming back to their direction. "I found a place," he says, chin high and eyes determined. Phil stares right back at him, gray eyes meeting brown, and doesn't argue. Instead, he lets him lead the way. The house isn't perfect. It's aged and overgrown, like everything else in the world, and the street it's on has a few other houses around it. There's clearly a town in the distance, but Phil is so fucking exhausted that he says nothing about it and settles them in for the night. He lets Tommy and Tubbo both split what's left of their green beans, and says nothing when Techno rolls out his blankets on the couch and lets Phil have the bedroom. In the morning, he leaves the two younger boys to sleep in. He's up early, not having slept much the night before, and Techno shuffles outside awake a little after he does, bleary and quiet. Phil sits on the stairs of the front porch, and they're quiet for a while as they watch the world wake up. The sun rises, banishing the chilly cold from the air for the most part. When Phil starts to hear noises from inside the house, evidence of Tommy waking up Tubbo, that's when he speaks. "We'll stay," he says, and Techno stiffens a bit beside him, like he hadn't expected him to speak at all. "Here." "Are you sure?" Techno asks, and Phil presses a hand to his forehead, rubbing at the space between his eyes where the pressure's often the worst. He's never sure of anything anymore, his head spinning with possibilities and worries and stress and anger. But he doesn't say that. He can't. "I'm sure," is what he says instead, staring at the sun until his eyes burn. Unless one of the houses across the street has more than two bedrooms. Techno laughs out loud for the first time, and Phil feels some small part of himself relax. They do end up relocating. Tubbo discovers a hole in the upstairs floor when he nearly falls through it, and Techno comes back from scouting with a report that one of the houses across the street is in much better shape and has three bedrooms, more than enough if Tommy and Tubbo were willing to share. So they roll up their blankets and pack their things for the last time, hopefully. At least, until next spring. Phil finds it hard to stay in one place. He keeps himself busy, of course, claiming a bedroom as his own and clearing it out to make it more comfortable. The sheets are dusty, and he enlists Tubbo's help to do the laundry, dragging a bag of dirty things to the stream across the street and down a small embankment. Using years-old detergent, Phil scrubs the sweat and grime of traveling out of his clothes and the dust out of the sheets until his hands are numb and raw. Tubbo helps without complaint, instead filling the silence with things he plans to do. Phil suggests a to-do list and watches as Tubbo's eyes glint with ideas. They leave the sheets out to dry on the front porch, crisp and white and blowing gently in the breeze like flags. Phil panics, only slightly, when Tommy and Techno return slightly bloody from checking the area around. That is to say, he nearly has a heart attack and collapses until he realizes the wound is a scrape and not a bite. "There was a dead guy stuck in the drain," Tommy explains as Tubbo wraps their gauze around his arm, just enough to cover the wound a few times and hold it in place. "Thing grabbed my ankle and I fell. Then I cut its arm off," Techno jumps in, and Phil resists the urge to bang his head against the wall. Other than the one trapped dead walker, however, they see no signs of any other monsters. Their street is empty. Phil fills their days with work, helping Tommy and Tubbo with their to-do list. He keeps them close to the house they've claimed, the one he refuses to think of as a home quite yet, and keeps the workload heavy so they sleep well at night. They board up the houses around them so nothing can get in or out. They scavenge as they go, taking whatever they can and stockpiling it in their living room. Tommy and Tubbo finally sport winter coats that somewhat fit them, with gloves and scarves waiting in the living room for when they're needed. Clothing is a godsend that Phil takes happily, any sort of fabric coming back and piling up in their closets and extra space in the house. Before long, it almost seems cluttered with the sheer amount of things Phil has found and thought to be somewhat useful, or just simply wanted to take for the sake of taking. Techno scavenges with them as well, but after some time, he heads out on his own to look around and explore the area surrounding them. He doesn't go into the town. Instead, he goes into the woods, and often enlists Tommy to come out and help get firewood, stacking it in the backyard and covering it with a tarp. By the end of the first week, there's so much there that there's not enough tarp, and Techno chooses to store what's left on one side of the kitchen. They talk about plans for the winter over their meals after the sun goes down, about food and supplies and rationing. It's a major worry of Phil's, but Techno says one night for him to not chew on his nails so much as he does, with a strange glint in his eye. The next day, he starts bringing back as many birds as he can possibly carry. Phil's somewhat surprised, and he recognizes a few of them, but Tubbo seems to be the most knowledgeable about their species. "This is ptarmigan," he explains, poking the bird Techno had brought back that day. "People used to eat it, actually, all the time." "Well, we're eating it now," Phil says, taking its limp body from where Techno had tossed it in the kitchen. "Come on, let's learn how to gut a bird." Food is something he still worries about, though. Yes, Techno brings things back more often than not, but Phil knows wildlife all disappear during the winter. He rations their meals carefully, placing more and more food aside as the days go by. Tommy discovers an overgrown garden a few streets over, and despite the fact that many of the vegetables and plants have gone out of season already, they take what they can get. Phil doesn't know a ton about storing food like this, but he does his best with cooking and then packing it all up, cleaning out the old fridge and scrubbing it until it's clean enough to actually put food in it again, despite the fact that the electricity's gone. The fireplace in the front room becomes the main kitchen, with the regular kitchen just used for storage. It's easier to help heat the living room, so Phil tacks up a blanket in the door between the kitchen and hallway, and they all tend to end up sleeping in the living room instead of the bedrooms they've claimed as it gets colder and colder. One morning, Phil wakes up later than normal. The room is quiet, the fire from last night having burnt down to embers and left the air around them chilly. To his left, he can see the slight rise and fall of Techno's chest. When he shifts to the right, Tommy and Tubbo are butt lumps under their blankets. The world is quiet and soft, the light coming in through the windows shine down on his head in an odd, muted tone. After taking a moment to sit up and feel the chill in the air, Phil slips his socks on and then pushes his way into the kitchen. It's even colder in there, and when he opens the back door, he can clearly see why. Snow coats the ground in a thin but even layer, the sky gray with the promise of more. Despite the serenity of it all, dread rises in the pit of his stomach. He sits on the back doorstep for a while, until he hears the rustling of someone waking up, and moves to go back in. Tommy and Tubbo are delighted by the snow. They don boots and two large jackets and gloves and scarves, and kick around in the few centimeters of white fluff until it's nothing but slush. Techno refuses to engage, that is, until a handful of grimy, muddy muck is thrown his way. From there, it's an all-out war, which Phil is unfortunately dragged into. By the end, however, he's laughing. Worries pushed to the back of his mind as he ducks behind a tower of firewood to avoid a slush ball hitting him and making the mess worse. The water from the stream is freezing when they eventually haul a bucket of it back to the house, using it to rinse themselves off. But Phil thinks it's maybe a little worth it to see the flush of their cheeks and ruddy smiles, breathless from laughing. Snow is weird where they are. Before everything happened, back when Phil lived in a warm flat during the winter, and Tommy and Tubbo had parents and school and lives, and Techno was in America, it didn't really snow. Sure, they had slush and the occasional few inches, and ice as well, but snow was hardly ever something they had to worry about. But as the years passed after the disease started, Phil had found the winters to be less and less forgiving. It started out small, with it getting colder a little earlier. The animals were off as well, Phil seeing wildlife in the middle of hordes of deadwalkers, or even just in the wrong season. Then came the rainstorms in the early spring and late summer, like they had months ago before they'd met Techno. Phil can still remember the warm humidity, how the water stuck to his skin and how their clothes never felt dry at all. Snow seems to be the icing on top of their shitty cake, a perfect white reminder that things are different now. The snow falls for days in huge white flakes, six-pointed and symmetrical as Tubbo points out. The snow piles up on the road and in their backyard, to the point where Phil has to clear a path to the firewood and back. Eventually, it drifts to be taller than even those stacks. When they bother to measure, it's at least 4 feet. Tommy and Tubbo like it at first, and so does Techno, sort of. Phil can even find it pretty, but sooner or later, the novelty wears off. It snows nearly every other day, and blue skies are infrequent. The world is a gloomy gray mess of white powder and cold, and Phil is tired of it before it even really gets bad. They're stuck inside for the most part, not going outside other than to collect a bucket of snow for water or get more firewood to keep the living room warm. It's where they stay most days, Tubbo working through a Sudoku book while Tommy prods and pokes and whines and complains. Phil lended him the book he'd finished a week prior, but it only shut him up for so long. Techno writes, nose buried in a notebook that he refuses to let Tommy read, no matter how much the younger pesters him. It's only a matter of time until one of them snaps. Surprisingly, it's not Techno, or Tommy, or even Phil.
Will you quit it?
Tubbo throws down the small booklet he's been obsessed with over the past few days, and Phil jumps from where he'd been dozing on the couch, feet in Techno's lap. Pulled awake, the older two can only watch as Tommy stares in surprise.
I can't move 2 inches without you finding something about me to pick on, and I'm sick of it! I just want to do my numbers without you trying to distract me or bully me!
Phil can see the surprise slide off Tommy's face, quickly replaced by anger. Shit. He and Techno share a glance. Boys, he calls out, but it's already too late.
If you weren't so fucking boring, I wouldn't have to bully you, would I?
Tommy shoots back, voice dripping with sarcasm and hurt.
Oh, I'm Tubbo. I like numbers. Look at me. I'm so smart. Phil, see how much I know? Oh, I'm so nice and helpful. I don't have a personality beyond that.
Phil slips his feet out of Techno's lap and onto the floor, already moving before Tubbo shoves the blanket off his own lap and launches himself at Tommy with fury and upset clearly plastered on his face. Phil's quick, and Techno follows him as soon as he sees the fight start, but both the teenagers manage to get a few hits in despite their reaction times. Phil pushes Tommy back, while Techno carefully places himself in front of Tubbo, blocking them from finishing what they were trying to start.
"You're a dick!"
Tubbo cries, hiccuping slightly as he says it, and tears mixing with the bloody nose he's now sporting. Phil winces, turning to Tommy and looking him over, bruised knuckles and a busted spot above his eyebrows, leaking blood into his eye. God damn it.
"You fucking started it!"
Tommy shouts back, and Phil finally raises his voice. "Enough!" he shouts, watching as both their gazes snap from each other to him.
"That's enough! Tommy, come with me. Techno?"
"Yeah, I got it." Techno doesn't let Phil finish, eyes firmly on Tubbo beneath him. "Let me see your face, kid." Phil urges Tommy backwards, out of the living room, and into the small, cold kitchen. He doesn't stick around enough to hear what Techno says, instead just focusing on Tommy and sitting him down on one of the chairs they keep empty. Tommy's shaking, fists curled still and fingernails biting into his palms as he sits there. Absently, his knee bounces. Once Phil's sure he's not going to run right back into the other room, he snags a towel from a stack they keep in the corner and presses it just under Tommy's eye. Another towel goes to his hand, probably soothing it just with temperature alone. "That was stupid," Tommy grits out after a minute of silence, and Phil sighs. "Yes, it was," he agrees, letting go of the towel. "Hold this." Tommy reaches up with his unbruised hand, gently pressing the towel onto the place where his skin had split. "Are you mad at me?" Tommy asks, and then quickly rephrases. "At us?" "No," Phil admits, because he's not. It's been a tense few weeks stuck in the house, and he knew the spats they'd all been having would lead up to something like this. "I'm not. I'm frustrated too, Tommy. We all are. It's hard not being able to keep busy, stuck like this. I feel like I'm going fucking insane," Tommy grimaces when Phil pulls the towel away slightly to check if it's still bleeding. It is, but at least it won't get any worse, and it's smaller than he had thought. Head wounds always look worse when they've just happened. A band-aid would suffice just fine, Phil thinks. "I know," he says, pressing the towel down again and smiling a bit when Tommy spits out a frustrated curse. "We'll work on it. We'll start going out, even with the snow. We can try and find something to do upstairs. You can help me try and figure out how to woodwork if you want." "What, like building shelves?" Tommy looks up at him, and Phil nods. "Sure, or carve little things. It involves using a knife in your hands, so it's better than sitting and doing nothing, right?" It had been an idea he'd had a few days ago, and they certainly had knives, and wood. Those were two things Phil was sure they'd never run out of, so why not put them both to good use? Tommy seems intrigued, especially when Phil brings up the knife bit, and he doesn't say no. He just twists his mouth to the side, staring off at the blanket that separates the kitchen and living room. If he listens just right, Phil can hear the low voices of Techno and Tubbo coming through it. "I didn't mean to make his nose bleed," Tommy says after a minute of silence, and Phil reaches out to gently ruffle his hair. "I know," he repeats for what feels like the millionth time. "Apologize once we got you cleaned up, okay?" Tommy ducks his head some, nodding Phil's hand off his head and pressing the towel harder onto his forehead. "He technically started it," Tommy points out, and Phil just gives him a look. He can remember being a teenager, and while his circumstances were entirely different, he knows that Tommy can tell he understands at least a little. He seems to deflate then, shrugging. "Fine." Phil takes a deep breath, then nods. "Alright, mate, sit here, I'm gonna go grab something for your head." Tommy nods slightly, and Phil ducks his way through the blanket door and back into the living room. Techno and Tubbo are quiet now, the blood mostly gone from Tubbo's face, but there's a few spots in the carpet, and he's pinching his nose with a wince. Phil takes a band-aid from the first aid kit, already open and on the couch, giving Techno a nod before heading back to Tommy. He gently pulls the towel away from his forehead, staying quiet as Tommy curses lightly when he wipes to clear the rest of the blood away from it before it dries. The cut is smaller than he'd thought before, so the band-aid fits neatly over the spot, and Tommy stops with the swears. They sit there for another minute, then Phil gives him a pointed glance toward the blanket in living room. Fuck you, Tommy says bitterly, then moves to get up and rub at his nose with his uninjured hand. Fine. Phil follows as Tommy pushes his way through the doorway and into the other room, silence falling over them all as the two teens stare at each other. Tommy glances at Tubbo for a second, then looks down at his socks and shuffles them in the carpet a bit. Tubbo's gaze seems to be square on his face, fingers still clutching his nose. Sorry for—
Tommy, I'm sorry.
They both start and stop, glancing at each other again, and then Tommy snorts a little. Your voice is all nasally, he says, and Tubbo sits there for a moment. Phil almost thinks he's going to get angry again, but he breaks out into a smile below his hand. Yeah, no thanks to you. Techno says it's not broken, though. That's a relief. Phil sees Tommy's shoulders slump a bit as well, and he moves to go sit on the couch once more. Techno follows suit, plopping down and giving him a look. Phil returns it kindly. Well, I didn't want to mess up your fugly face more than it is already.
Hey! Kidding, sorry.
Phil lets the good-natured bickering wash over him like a balm, and Techno absently messes with a section of his own hair as he watches them go back and forth. Phil thinks maybe haircuts should be added to his to-do list. They all look shaggy, and Techno's roots are growing in. Phil wonders if they've got any dye left, since the other had insisted on keeping his hair pink as long as possible. Tommy, all right? Techno asks after a couple minutes of listening to them make up, voice low and casual enough for Phil to know he wants mild privacy during this conversation. He nods. Yeah, physically and emotionally, I think. I don't think any of us are emotionally all right, Phil. Techno drops the small braid from his fingers in order to put air quotes around the words, huffing lightly. Fair point, Phil concedes, propping his feet back up in Techno's lap where they'd been before this whole thing started. Fair point. Techno goes outside more often than any of them. He disappears early in the morning, and doesn't come back some days until the sun is nearly setting, and Phil is biting his nails down to the cuticle with anxiety. Occasionally, he comes back with things. Sometimes it'll be useless little items, things he hands over to its respective recipient and says nothing else about. Sometimes it's food, cold cans of various items, the occasional spice bottle, and once, a bag of rice. These little food presents come less and less, but Techno still goes out. Sometimes he'll bring Tommy or Tubbo with him, or both, but they never stay out as long during those days. Phil prefers to stay in the house, whittling wood down into shapes that get more and more recognizable. One night, after Tommy and Tubbo have fallen asleep in a pile, and the fire has gotten low, Techno pulls his backpack over and motions for Phil to come look. Inside are some ribbons, the kinds you'd find in a party store, still in their package. What are these for? Phil asks quietly as he turns them over in his hands, making sure not to wake the younger two. Techno shrugs. Found them in someone's kitchen drawers. Thought we could spice up the place for Christmas. Right. Christmas. Phil had honestly forgotten, and he knows it shows on his face when Techno gives him a lopsided grin and teases. Did you forget? Maybe. Shut up, Phil says. I haven't celebrated since this all started. Maybe it's time we do, Techno says, zipping his backpack up and letting Phil hide the ribbon somewhere else, where they'll take up less space. He thinks on that for a while, staring at the fire until it's almost nothing, and finally getting up to put more wood on. Christmas. There's no way to tell what day it is, really, so Phil chooses a random day in the middle of the cold. He digs out more rations than usual, Techno taking both Tommy and Tubbo out in the snow for a bit to give him time to prepare. Up goes the ribbons, decorating the living room in festive color, and Phil raids the mostly untouched hall closet in the house for any other decorations. Sat in the bottom of the box labeled Christmas in scrawled Sharpie is a picture frame. He lifts it out with care, unwrapping the faded newspaper from around the gaudy reindeer and Santa frame and stares. The family looks back up at him. A father with a beard, a petite mother, and two little girls standing in front of them. They're all dressed up in winter clothing, staring at the camera with bright smiles and happy faces. Quietly, Phil wraps the frame back up and puts it back in the box. Then back into the closet in the hallway. He heads back to the living room they've claimed as their own, and continues wrapping the hastily prepared gifts. By the time Techno comes back, Tommy and Tubbo in tow, Phil's mostly done. There's still some time before the soup he'd attempted to make would be fully done, but that's alright. There are things to do beforehand. Tommy shoves his way into the kitchen first and stomps the snow off his pants, grinning, cheeks flushed.
I cannot believe you,
Tubbo shouts from outside, and his hair is painted white with snow. Tommy just laughs, tugging his gloves off and throwing them onto the tile. Phil, who's poked his head out of the living room at this point and is watching them now, gives him a look. Put your wet shit in the bin, he chides. Tommy rolls his eyes, but goes to do so anyways. Tubbo and Techno take more time to brush themselves off outside, coming in and continuing to rid themselves of the warm layers. Phil waits, meeting Techno's gaze with a small smile. What's going on? Tubbo asks, having caught the exchanged look. Phil shrugs, holding back a grin, and watches as Tommy and Tubbo share a hesitant look. Tommy pulls off his boots, hopping on his feet and trying to dance over the piles of snow they'd tracked in, and keep his socks dry. Phil moves to the side, Tommy just missing barreling into him as he bounces through the blanket doorway, and into the living room with no small amount of curiosity.
What?
He asks, sounding slightly surprised. Phil turns, leaning against the wall and letting the grin out as Tommy raises a hand, poking one of the red ribbons Phil had hung from the ceiling. Tubbo races in, having pulled off his own boots in a hurry to see.
Christmas!
He exclaims, spinning around in a circle and immediately spotting the small bundle of branches that sort of looked like a tree, if you turned your head right, that Phil had propped up in the corner.
It's Christmas! How did you know?
We didn't, Techno says, coming into the room and heading towards the fireplace to hold his hands out, working the stiffness out of them. Phil just picked a random day and told me to distract you two so he could set it up.
Are these for us?
Tommy asks, having found the small packages under the tree, wrapped in fabric and tied with twine. Phil nods. There are three gifts there, all from him.
But we didn't know,
Tubbo says, immediately going over to pick one of the presents up and look at it.
We didn't get you guys anything.
Think of it as an IOU, Techno says dryly, and Phil whaps him on the shoulder lightly.
Can we open them?
Tubbo asks excitedly, setting down the one he'd picked up in favor of finding the one with his name on it. Tommy's doing the same, holding the little package with an odd expression on his face. Phil doesn't choose to comment, instead going over and nodding.
If you want, yes. That's why I wrapped them in the first place, so they're able to be opened.
I didn't wrap mine, Techno says, sitting on the couch now and digging through his bag. Suck it up.
Killjoy,
Tommy teases, but he doesn't refuse the present when offered. Techno hands him a small bundle of metal, and Tommy immediately starts to flick parts of it open. It's a multi-tool pocket knife by the looks of it, and Tommy instantly locks onto the knife bit and holds it out in front of himself, slashing a bit at the air. Techno gives him a wide berth as he tosses Tubbo his gift, something soft and yellow and round. And then, Phil gets his. It's a series of books, but that's not the important part.
There's a library on the other side of town, Techno explains.
Phil brightens immediately.
It's in shambles for the most part, but there's some salvageable stuff. Give me ideas of what you want, and I'll bring it back. Or we can go together sometime.
Thank you, Techno, Phil smiles, running his fingers over the pages carefully and mindlessly watching as Tubbo and Tommy play around with their presents from Techno. He'd been raiding the upstairs bedrooms for literature to stave off boredom for the past few weeks, and the discovery of a library is wonderful, not to mention all the things they could learn if the right books were still there. It's a good gift. They all are, and feel so intensely grateful that Techno has decided to stay with them for this moment. The sound of ripping paper tears him from his thoughts, and he glances up to see Tommy tearing away at the brown paper he'd wrapped the gifts for him in.
Tommy, he says, laughing a little as he takes the package from his hands despite mild protest.
That's Techno's. Learn to read.
This is yours. He hands over the small square. And this one's for you.
Tubbo takes his with a smile, and Phil sits himself down and makes sure he's paying attention while they open it. He's decided on more Sudoku for Tubbo, a taped-together booklet he'd made himself out of whatever remaining magazines and newspapers he could find. Inside of that is another little piece of paper, one that Tubbo holds up to his face and scrutinizes for a moment. Then he breaks into a grin, then laughter.
I've got a coupon,
he shouts, leaning over into Tommy's space and shoving it in his face.
For a Tommy free day!
Tommy's indignant, abandoning his unwrapping ventures in order to snag the coupon and peer at it.
What the hell, Phil?
You've got one too, Phil points out, holding back his laughter.
For a Tubbo free day. Both of you can redeem it at any time.
This is bullshit. I'm never using mine,
Tommy proclaims loudly, and Techno snorts from his seat in the corner.
Clingy,
he teases, and Tommy reaches out to snag his new pocket knife.
Watch it, bitch boy, I'll stab you, he warns, mimicking the motion with his blade. Phil reaches out, waving a hand in the air in front of his face to catch his attention. Actually, you've got another present to open, he reminds him, and Tommy glances down as if he'd forgotten. Under the paper is a small mechanical device, rare these days. Phil had found it earlier in the year, digging through one of the attics around them. It didn't have any batteries at the time, but there were plenty of tapes that he had grabbed along with it just in case they found the right kind. And they had, months later. Phil decided to save it for a special occasion, and this definitely counts as one in his mind. The thing is old enough, and rare enough, that Tommy turns it over in his hands, like he has no idea what to do with it. The only thing he seems to recognize are the earbuds, which he puts in his ears after a moment and frowns. What is it? He asks, and Phil points to the play button. Hit that, he instructs, and Tommy dutifully does. A moment later, they can all hear the tinny sounds of music escaping from his ears. Tommy still looks confused for a moment. Phil wonders if he picked the wrong thing to give to him. But then, he smiles. It's not a normal Tommy smile, big and loud and proud. No, this one's smaller. The smile that Tommy usually reserves when he thinks it's just Tubbo and himself. Thanks, Phil, he says after a second, figuring out the pause button and tugging the headphones out. Phil grins. You're welcome, mate. Share it sometime, yeah? Yeah, all right. Tommy's fiddling with the machine now, enough so that Phil can turn his attention over to Techno. He's already opened the present and seemingly inspected it based on how it's just sitting in his lap now. Tommy and Tubbo ignore them in favor of messing with the buttons and trying to figure out the earbuds, and Phil's grateful for the relative quiet. He nods down to the jacket that's lying in his lap. It's red, a fuzzy collar and the lining inside made of soft white fabric that Phil had ripped off some carpet a house or two over. I thought you could use a change from the usual dingy color scheme, he teases, watching as Techno runs his hand absently over the soft collar. Wow, thanks, he deadpans, lifting the jacket up a bit and eyeing it. Did you make this thing from scratch? No, I just relined it and put the red on the outside, Phil explains, reaching out to show him a few spots where the original coat managed to shine through. He's not the best at sewing, but he's by far the most competent at the skill out of all of them. I like it, Techno admits, setting it down again in his lap, but his fingers never leave the soft fuzz. Also, thanks for the coupon. He holds up a scrap of paper identical to Tommy and Tubbo's, the words scrawled across it declaring a coupon for one child-free day. They grin at each other for a minute, holding back the laughter as much as they can, before Phil finally cracks. You're welcome, mate, he says as Techno chuckles, both of them glancing back to where Tommy and Tubbo are sitting, eyes locked on the tape deck, music quiet and tinny, but there. It mixes with the sounds of the fire, crackling in its corner, and the soft pops of the wood as it burns and chars. The room is warm and full of color, their dinner making the air smell like vegetables and food, and something hearty to fill their stomachs with. Christmas ends with them bundling up for bed, laughing and happy and no tension between them as they listen to the sounds of the wind outside. Winter might not be so bad if they can have days like this, Phil thinks, staring at the blacked-out windows and still smiling, even as he dozes off. And as with all things, winter comes to an end.